And we have restarted the recording at 12:19. This is still the Board of Physical Therapy regular session meeting, Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. And we are continuing with the meeting for board business. So the first matter of board business is an update regarding the FSBPT and annual meeting. Both Dr. Hike and Mr. Greer and myself attended the annual meeting. And I do believe our attendees have some experiences they might like to share.
Great.
Dr. Hike, Mr. Greer, who would like to go first?
Oh. I had a great time, Iowa City, and beginning of November is colder than I thought it was going to be, but it's a great experience just to be there and to rub shoulders with peers, people who are doing what we're doing, who have the same similar experiences. So I don't have anything substantive. You know, I go there as a public member and I don't understand half of what's going on, but it is fun to see that we're not on our own. You know, we're dealing with a lot of the same issues that they're dealing with in other jurisdictions.
Agreed. It was a little cold, but there were restaurants all around, so that was nice. So I heard a lot of people say positive things about the location. I have two items to bring up that I thought were interesting. One was about AI, and specifically just as a disclaimer, and of course, Josh and Judy, correct me if I'm wrong at any point. FSBPT is not using AI, but they are in the process of observing it. And so they provided a very neat example of creating questions using AI. And the way that they did it was they talked about bee colonies and where those bee colonies would reside and in what state. So the idea was to create these, I think it was six different bee colonies, and to be able to, you know, be specific about these colonies and where they might live in the U.S. or in the world in using AI. And so they use that as an example to demonstrate how they would create exam questions that could be easily tweaked by the components of the question. So this bee colony with these specific colors, with this geographical locations. So it was really neat to sort of see where that was going. And from that, I don't remember the specifics, but they were generating thousands of questions off of just these six colonies of different levels of Bloom's taxonomy of tasks. So it was fascinating. And as they said, we're not using it now, but we are looking at it for the potential that it could generate excellent questions. So I thought that was interesting, and then I'll pause to see if there's any questions or if Judy and Josh want to add to that.
I did not attend that presentation because I was in another one, but I thought that there was a significant presence of AI at the meeting in terms of sessions that were held in that regard or in that potential regard. So I think the underlying statement was it's here and we got to figure out how to kind of use it and how to kind of harness it for good, I suppose.
Yes. Most of the time when I hear talks on AI, and I've heard a number of them, they usually go the bad route. And in this case, it was the good route. There's definitely things we need to be aware of that are problems, but I thought it was a very fascinating presentation. That was a side presentation. One other item of interest is Dr. Shields came up and presented to everyone, and in the main session. And they also, if you attended Education Leadership Conference. They presented there as well. It's going to be published in PTJ. And the bottom line of that is that they have found a tipping point of the cost of PT programs. And that tipping point is above $150,000. And for those programs that charge more than $150,000, the amount of burnout, the amount of people leaving the profession, the number of cases that are being brought forward, and problems with the PT in the future is very predictive of them leaving the profession. So I don't know if that is a concern in terms of the state board and in terms of workforce data and collecting information about, and I'm not sure how that necessarily goes, but you know, do we see cases that are being brought forward based off of what has happened previously in terms of having to pay back debt and all of the things that go with it? So that I thought was fascinating. The other aspect of that that I'll just bring forward and then I'll shut up is that the following Dr. Shields, a clinician of a private practice area in the Midwest, actually stated, we no longer take students from these six universities, and they listed the universities for everyone to see because of the cost and because of the burnout and because of the problems that they saw with those graduates after they became PTs. So I just bring that forward for your information. I thought it was fascinating, and I look forward to seeing that in PTJ, the journal.
Wow. What a presentation.
I know. I thought it was fascinating.
And just a follow-up to that, this wasn't the result of the lack of the quality of the students. This was an intentional decision by the practice to try to affect the pricing model for these schools. And as a result of it, the schools had lowered their prices to their students. And it was really an interesting presentation.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got to say about that.
And just for your knowledge, that these presentations, the FSBPT does post them. I haven't looked if these presentations are posted yet, but if anybody has interest in listening to them, you should be able to access them, if not already, but soon, through your FSBPT portal. And all board members have one. So if you don't know that you have a portal or you don't know how to access the portal, let me know and I'll get you in contact with the people who can walk you through it. Okay. All right. Anything else about the annual meeting? Any questions? They always
It will not be over Halloween next year.
Right?
Oh, good.
Although one of the meetings we did get centerpieces of little candy bars, so that was enjoyable. Yeah. too funny. Okay, so the next item is 2025 prospective board meeting dates. I outlined them for you. I put all 12 on in the last 2 years, 2023 and 2024. The board has elected to not meet in November. However, that is the board's decision again. So all 12 potential meeting dates are there. There are some dates that have been adjusted due to certain concerns, holidays mostly, but the October meeting was bumped up a little bit in response to annual meeting because a minimum of three people will be gone. So, So those dates are for your review, your consideration. And, once a determination is made, they'll be, posted on the website for the coming year.
I like not meeting in November.
Great. Yeah.
I agree.
Do we need a motion for that, or do we just take it off?
I think we'll like make a motion to accept the meeting dates and to eliminate the November meeting. In doing that, again, that's your choice. I can't remember what the date was. Bear with me just a second. Get the right paper up in front of me. November 18th, correct. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think the motion can say adopt all of the meeting dates with the exception of November 8th and eliminate the November meeting.
So I'll move that we accept the prospective board meeting dates with the exception of November 18th, 2025.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the 2025 board meeting dates with the exception of November 18th, 2025, which has the effect of eliminating a November board meeting. Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Leone is not here. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
And Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. Okay, the next subject is our alternate approval pathway. And this one is kind of encompassing, and we do have Jeff Rosa on the meeting in case we have any questions about these processes. So there are I mixed up a couple of things. So I apologize if we renumbered. But the important information here is there's going to be several items that we're going to request a board vote on. And I'm happy to kind of discuss them one at a time to help maintain clarity with them. So the board's current NPTE contract with FSBPT became effective on November 18th, 2024, and includes the alternate approval pathway. For exam candidates who are graduating or who have graduated from CAPE accredited educational institutions. So the board's materials included a comparison table of the board's current eligibility process and that of AAP, as well as a copy of ARS 32-2024. To be clear, while the AAP will reorder some steps of the current application process, licensure will not be granted using the delegation that the board has made to staff to process those applications or bringing those applications to the board when it's necessary to do so. So all of the application requirements are fulfilled prior to licensure with or without AAP. It just reorders the steps a little bit. So we have a few items to discuss. So first and foremost is the implementation date. So while the contract became effective in November, we're in the midst of a cycle for examination and deadlines. And to prevent the opportunity of certain applicants receiving immediate approval for examinations versus approval by submitting an application, we are suggesting that the implementation happen on or about January 3rd of 2025, which will clear past the deadlines for this January exam and get us started right before the next exam. So that means that any of those candidates who register for the exam and meet FSBPT eligibility criteria will be granted eligibility to test for NPTE and AZ Law, regardless of whether or not they have submitted an application to Arizona. So the first question is, do you agree with the implementation date being around January 3rd after the January exam deadlines? Okay.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm happy to answer any questions about that, but if we can, if you agree with that and we can get a motion, that'd be great.
So move that we begin the implementation of the alternate approval pathway on or about January 3rd, 2025.
Who seconded that?
Me, John.
Okay, thank you. Perfect. So it's been moved and seconded to implement the AAP process on or about January 3rd, 2025. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. The next item is that the board is asked to consider naming FSBPT as a designee of the board to grant exam eligibility. So this would have the effect of the board placing in record that FSBPT can grant eligibility on the board's behalf. And if so, I'm going to ask again for another vote, naming FSBPT as a designee to grant eligibility.
This is Mr. Barton. I move that we do that. We designate FSBPT as a proxy. So.
Second. King second.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been moved and seconded to name FSBPT as a designee of the board to grant exam eligibility. Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
And Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. The third item is with respect to 32-2024. The statute as a whole, but specifically also B2C. So in your packet, you did have a copy of that statute. So we're asking whether the board would like to direct staff to draft a substantive policy statement addressing AAP and ARS 32-2024, including but not limited to whether the affirmation from a CAPTE-accredited educational institution may be considered in satisfaction of statute sections B through D and may be treated as an equivalent to the letter required by 32-2024-B2C. So let me know if you would like any clarification on that request.
So I'll move that we direct staff to develop a substantive policy statement as it relates to the meeting requirements as set forth in ARS 32-2024-B2C.
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded to direct staff to draft a substantive policy statement addressing AAP and ARS 32-2024, especially section B2C. Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hyde?
Yes.
That motion passes. And I feel like we should have a drum roll here. The fourth of this is with requests to ADA accommodations. So with AAP, with the way that the agreement is now, ADA accommodation requests still must be handled by the board. So right now, today, our process is to have any application that comes before the board, the application is considered pretty well complete, with the exception, depending upon, you know, who it is, of their exam scores, their transcripts, et cetera. But they've submitted all of their documentation. They've addressed any deficiencies. Typically, all of that is required prior to anybody's application being agendized to the board. With AAP, it's very possible that that people will be testing without ever submitting an application until they receive passing scores on their exam. In the case of ADA, that's going to be a little bit different because A, we need to know who they are and that they're requesting ADA accommodations. So the way that they'll do that is they'll submit an application and make those requests. So in order to prevent it from seeming unfair in any circumstance, we're requesting that when we get those ADA applications with ADA requests, that we are able to bring those to the board prior to the finalization. So in essence, there may still be some application deficiencies. We may have simply just gotten an application dropped in our lap right before a board deadline. It can be any variety of circumstances. But the important thing, I believe, is because there are still testing deadlines in place, that we address these requests when we know that they exist coming forward before finalizing the application process.
So moved.
Okay.
Can we add something to my motion that I shouldn't be the person who has to turn down the ADA people every single time?
You're so articulate, though.
Okay, I'll withdraw the last part of that motion.
You just make the motion. We vote along with you. So you're just the voice. Thank you.
Who did the second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering about this for discussion. Does that mean that we would immediately have to respond? We're thinking about December and January, and we just took out our November meeting. I'm just worried about the logistics of it. Is there time based off of what we just have done for us to approve that for the December and January people that are going up for the board? And so it's a question.
So the way that we'll be looking at that is, so we've had circumstances in 2 years. So the November meeting has been eliminated in both 2023 and 2024. In 2023, we did get, now mind you, we were responsible for all deadlines and all approvals in that time frame. In 2023, we did have to call a special meeting for just the pure purpose of approving certain applications. And that included background questions, that included ADA, right? Typically, so we called that meeting in 2023. It was just a very short abbreviated meeting and the matter was taken care of. So through the application process, we're watching those things. We're watching those deadlines. We did watch that again this year. The way that this meeting went with the, I think the deadline is tomorrow or the next day, for the January exam this time around. So, we didn't have anything that couldn't make this meeting, but what we'll do is we'll watch those things. However, with the fact that most of the people who are applying, most of the people who are seeking eligibility are going to be doing so without ADA requests. We won't necessarily know of their background issues, especially if they test before they complete an application. However, when we get that application, just like we do with endorsement right now, right? Those applicants have their NPTE done already. We don't give them the AZ Law eligibility until the application process, but it's conceivable that they will come to us, all of their exams done, address all of their application deficiencies, and then we find out that they've got a background question or something like that that needs to go to the board. So they'll be subject to the board agenda deadlines, which are typically about 10 days before the board meeting. So if they make that meeting, great. If they don't, they go to the next one. At that point, the deadlines really won't be the issue. With ADA, it will be an issue. With foreign educated, they are not CAPTE accredited in most cases. So they will follow, foreign educated applicants will follow the same exact process that we have today. We'll get their application, we'll get all their documentation, and then bring them to the board and go through the process. Of course, foreign educated typically have the supervised clinical practice grade. So there's multiple steps in that. But they'll come to the board for that. Any kind of background questions, anything like that, will come to the board before they're licensed. We might have their scores. We might have everything in the application, but they'll still come before the board before an approval is granted. With ADA, that's the only one that would come when we're informed of that request, just to not penalize them for making that request in a time frame essence. But that said, they still bear responsibility of getting that information to us in a timely enough fashion for us to act on it. So, and we work with them. Staff, Phoenix and Monica do a wonderful job of managing that. So yes, is there a possibility that there might be some conflict with that November meeting? 100%. If that's the case, we'll make it happen so we can pull something together quickly if we need to, based on deadlines.
Because NAU is changing their graduation date and it'll be three programs, 150 people all graduating at the same time. They're bound to be individuals that are ADA. And they'll all graduate at the same time in the future. So,
We are fully aware of NAU graduation.
I'm sure you are.
We're teetering on one right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It may happen. It can happen, but most of the pressure for deadlines through AAP will be taken off of the shoulders of the board. It will just be those, yeah, right? It will just be those requests that we need to act on.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So that said, I think we have a motion on the table, but we didn't vote. Unless there's any more questions, any more discussion, any concerns? Okay, so it was moved and seconded to allow presentation of ADA accommodation requests prior to the application necessarily being fully completed. Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
That motion passes. Fantastic. Y'all did great with those bite-sized pieces. Thank you very much. That will help us. The next item is for board business and reports. It's the PT Compact status report. So we also still have Jeff here with us if there's any questions about that. So this was a new report that came across our desks, and it's regarding compact privileges, both those individuals who are licensed elsewhere who have compact privileges in Arizona and those Arizona licensees who have compact privileges in other states. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see. The PT Compact Commission aims to provide that report on a more regular basis beginning in 2025, but as of the receipt of the original report, though, that reporting basis timeframe wasn't fully determined. So I don't know how often we'll get the report, but do you have any questions, any thoughts, any concerns on this? I will bring out the fact on the report itself. The very last section is the revenue generated through the compact privilege purchases. I believe Arizona is one of the only states that has those zeros associated with it. So, but the compact is growing. There is more and more application of it in Arizona and as well throughout the country. So hopefully that's getting help, physical therapy help to the sections, to the areas that need it, and providing some coverage. All right. Any questions about that? Okay.
Great. Yay for us.
Great. Yay.
Yeah. Yay. It's been a long time coming, Judy. Thank you so much for all your work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was that, I think Jeff can agree, that was a lot of work.
Yeah, sure. We appreciate it. Thank you.
We're glad it's here now. Mm-hmm. And yes, we can move forward.
Yes.
So the next item has to do with the rules. Both we've got, dueling, rule sections, dueling rule circumstances that we're dealing with. So staff submitted the five-year rules review to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council, which I'll refer to as GRC. We submitted the report on November 13th, which was 2 weeks prior to the Thanksgiving Day of November 28th due date. The report has not yet been agendized at a GRC study session or meeting, but we anticipate that notice coming at any point in time. Additionally, a notice of proposed rulemaking and docket opening were submitted to the Secretary of State's office on November 6th and published in the November 29th Arizona Administrative Register. The comment period is currently open, and an oral proceeding is scheduled at the board's office on Monday, January 6th, beginning at 10 a.m. Staff, to date, has not yet received any comments with respect to the rulemaking. And just as a reminder, because so many of these things are happening kind of back to back, but one is looking backwards in the rearview mirror, one is looking forward in the through the windshield. But the currently proposed rulemaking addresses the outstanding items from the 2019 plus the passing of Senate Bill 1267. So any subsequent rulemakings as a result of the 2024 five-year rules review or based on the rules committee, those will happen in the future. So there will still be significant probably board discussion about those things. Of course, the committee has made recommendations, but there's still a lot to finalize those and make them actual rules or determine, you know, what the board really wants to do if we look at each one a little more closely. So the rules review report was attached as well as the administrative register to show you that it had been published. But I'm happy to answer any questions about any of that information. Anything? All right. Well, it will be an ongoing process. So if you have questions, I'm sure you know where to find me. Which then brings us to our financials. During the preliminary uploads of documents, we had the October financials, and then as a last minute, I got the November financials. You'll notice that the document remains the same all the way through October. November just adds the November, but since you already had the October, I didn't want to delete it and put the November in its place. Somebody might not have noticed that. So anyways, I'm happy to answer any kind of questions about our financials.
I, for one, am glad you make our financials look so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of teamwork in this office in a lot of ways. All right. Then next and almost final is the licenses and registrations. Again, not having that November meeting, I broke it down into two totals throughout, just so you can see the monthly progress. So any questions on that? And the way our applications are stacking up, thanks to the NAU graduation in December, anticipate this will continue to grow. The trend will continue upward. Okay. Any future agenda items?
Not an agenda item, but I'm just curious if you have an idea of how the post-renewal audit went for CEUs for license.
We're still in that process.
Okay.
So, it's going.
Mm-hmm.
There's still some hiccups that need to be addressed. But yeah, the audits are mostly done, mm-hmm. mostly compliant.
Great.
So we're in the final stretch of trying to do that. Yes. So there's still some back and forth to be had.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are some that, have opted to submit, through CE Broker. So that's really been a nice thing.
Ooh.
Really nice.
Great.
So there, you know, in the future, spoiler alert, there may be more discussions in that arena. Okay. Then I think the final item is everybody's favorite, adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. Vestillo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dr. Queen.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Greer. Thank you. Mr. Barton.
Yes.
And Dr. Hike.
Yes.
That motion passes. This meeting is adjourned at 12:57 and the recording will stop at that same time. Thank you, everybody. I hope everybody has a wonderful